Thank you. That was uncalled for. So good evening, everyone. It is great to see this turnout. We hosted the event here tonight because we wanted to get the message out to a broader audience than we could fit in the City Hall chambers. When we made that decision, we had no idea that 200 people would make reservations. And I think it speaks to the desire of people in this community to be connected with government, to be connected with what's going on in the community. So I thank you for all turning out tonight. It's not that there's anything else on television tonight. nothing worth watching. I'd like to thank Dr. Ames and the Sage Colleges for generously hosting us this evening. The Sage Colleges regularly provides their facilities, this room, the Bush Memorial, for civic gatherings in Troy, and I'm most grateful for their longstanding participation in the Troy community. They are also wonderful stewards of this historic campus, which is a jewel in our city's crown. So again, thank you, Dr. Ames, for your hospitality this evening. I'd like to begin by acknowledging some of the other elected officials who have joined us this evening. We're joined by City Council President Carmela Mantello, Council 1 Representative Jim Gulley, Council 4 Representative Anasha Cummings, Council 6 Representative Timothy T.J. Kennedy. We're also joined by a couple of county legislators, Peter Grimm, the county legislative minority leader, county legislator Cindy Doran, county legislator Aaron Sullivan Tata, county legislator Carol Weaver, and our new Rensselaer County DA, Mary Pat Donnelly. We're also joined tonight by Caitlin Rooney from Senator Gillibrand's office, Colleen Williams from Congressman Tonko's office, and from the governor's office, Jeff Quain, and Eliza Madden. She was here. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Did I miss anyone? Great, thank you. All right, prevailing on the applause-o-meter, District 5 Representative David December. So regardless of party, these people have made the sacrifice to serve. They put in long hours, they miss family gatherings, they wrestle with difficult decisions, and they seldom make more than about 50% of the people happy at any given time. Yet they serve. I offer my gratitude to each and every one of them. I am grateful for the opportunity to work with them in service to the residents of the city of Troy. Thank you all very much. I'd also like to thank each of you in attendance tonight. As I look out across the room, I see a lot of familiar faces from dozens and dozens of meetings across the city. Thank you for showing up, not just tonight. Thank you for showing up all the time. Thank you for investing your time in our city. So many of you have been thoughtfully engaged. Your participation is making a difference in this community. Your presence here is a testament to the health and vitality of our community, and I hope that you'll all continue your participation in the years to come. The annual State of the City Address is an opportunity to celebrate our city's successes and to speak about my administration's significant fiscal and administrative objectives for the coming year. I assumed office 3 years ago with a clear understanding of the financial difficulties facing our city. In that moment, we understood that confronting these tasks would not be easy, and it has not been. It has consumed a great deal of time and energy while generating a great deal of debate and much discussion. In the end, we've made considerable progress. Over the past 3 years, I have spoken often regarding the precarious state of the city's finances, because without a solid foundation, all of our collective efforts are for naught. In 2018, we continued our rigid discipline around spending and budgeting. We passed our third consecutive structurally balanced budget. Fiscal year 2017 produced a modest surplus, adding strength to our fiscal position, and we expect the same from 2018 when those numbers are finalized. We've reconciled all legacy capital accounts. We responsibly paid all of our bills when due. We do not defer payments, creating burdens on those that follow us. As a result, Moody's improved our credit rating outlook again in 2018 from stable to positive. That's the second increase they have given the city in 2 years. Our fiscal stress rating. Our fiscal stress rating, as calculated by the New York State Comptroller, decreased again, the third time in 3 years. We are in the lowest tier of risk for fiscal stress. In each of the past 3 years, we've added modestly to our reserves, and while they still remain thin, they are the strongest they've been since 2009. And just last week, Moody's rated the bond anticipation notes that we are issuing this week at a MIG-1 level. MIG is Moody's Investment Grade 1 level, the highest grade for all municipal notes. These achievements are the result of our commitment to fiscal discipline and fact-based budgeting. Though we are not out of the woods yet, we are on the right path, and we are headed in the right direction. The practice of kicking the can down the road has stopped. We are acting in the best interests of not only the taxpayers today, but also in the best interests of future generations who will inherit the city from us. I want to thank our Deputy Comptroller, Andy Petrowski. Andy is in the back. And our Deputy Mayor, Monica Kuzieski, for their relentless pursuit of fiscal integrity. While fiscal matters may have been and will continue to be a significant driver of my agenda, we also have a good deal to look back on and be proud of in other areas. During the last 3 years, by working together, we have driven tremendous progress in our city. When it comes to infrastructure, the city of Troy today is the beneficiary of the foresight and investment of those who came before us. The infrastructure investments of the preceding generations benefit us on a daily basis. Whether by choice or by circumstance, for too long, however, we have neglected those assets. This neglect has been costly and embarrassing. Prime examples include our pools, our former city hall, and now the Nick ice skating rink. The truth is, most city-owned assets show signs of deferred maintenance to varying degrees. This neglect has passed the buck from generation to generation with no quick or easy solution. Although we cannot correct all of these omissions overnight, we have set ourselves on a path of deliberate improvements. In 2018, we continued these steps. We replaced two sewer pump stations. We replaced a water line running under the Posenkill Creek that serves most of the east side Posenkill and North Greenbush. We completed the engineering for the replacement of the water transmission lines that bring our water from the Tom Hanek Reservoir to our water treatment plant. And we secured a $10 million grant to help offset the cost of that project. We completed the stabilization of the embankment on Brunswick Road damaged by Hurricane Irene. We began construction on the seawall flood mitigation project. We continued the sidewalk and curb replacement project, completing over a mile of sidewalks, curbing, crosswalks, and new street lighting. We completed a stormwater separation project on Burdett Avenue, which will lead to a reduction of instances in which heavy storms cause overflows of sewage into the Hudson River. We installed 4 sewer metering pits to monitor infiltration of stormwater from surrounding towns into our sewer system. The data generated will inform future steps that we can take to reduce further sewage outflows into the Hudson River. And we continued our street paving program, laying over 16,000 tons of pavement in 2018 alone. This year, we will complete the seawall, a $24.3 million project. And following on the heels of that, we will begin construction of the new marina. We will begin construction on the long-awaited South Troy Industrial Roadway. I want you to know that I had hair when that project first started. We will complete the relining of the compromised Campbell Avenue sewer line. We will complete the renovation of the South Troy pool. We will begin the replacement of 5 miles of water transmission lines from the Tom Hannock. This project will take somewhere between 18 and 24 months to complete. We will begin the restoration of 3 of our water tanks, including the installation of aeration systems to improve water quality in the tanks. We will install another stormwater separation system at 124th Street, further reducing sewage outflows into the Hudson. Our sidewalk replacement program will move into South Troy this spring, and we will complete the demolition of the long vacant Leonard Hospital on New Turnpike Road. Planning this year will begin for the replacement of the Campbell Avenue Bridge over the Wineskill Creek. We secured a $3.6 million bridge grant for that project, the replacement of the Knickerbocker Park Pool, and the replacement of the Knickerbocker Ice Rink. The replacement of the Tibbetts Avenue water tank, which is of insufficient size for today's demands and has proven to be very expensive to maintain. We will plan for the renovation and the replacement of the Lansingburg Firehouse, and we will plan for the future of the Mount Ida Dam and Belden's Pond. Infrastructure improvements are not often all that visible to the general public. They don't typically garner a great deal of attention, although their failure certainly does. Nonetheless, they are essential to preserve our assets and ensure the continued reliability of services and quality of life of our residents. While our bustling downtown continues to be the envy of upstate New York, it is Troy's diverse neighborhoods that truly define our community. The city boasts a wide variety of neighborhoods, from dense urban streetscapes to single-family homes with generous yards. Troy offers a housing environment for every taste. Making each of those neighborhoods realize its highest potential is a significant focus of City Hall on a day-to-day basis. Healthy neighborhoods are essential building blocks for strong and vibrant communities. A nagging problem in our neighborhoods is the proliferation of vacant and so-called zombie properties that started making their appearance after the mortgage crash some 10 years ago. This is a vexing problem for communities across the country and of particular concern to the neighbors of these eyesores. With grant funds directed to this purpose, we have added a code enforcement position and legal support to address the problem of zombie properties. Zombie properties are those properties that are vacant and whose title is tied up in foreclosure proceedings. It makes it frustratingly difficult to hold those responsible parties accountable. We've commenced our first enforcement action against a lender with several zombie properties in the city, and we are partnering with the City of Albany to go after another who has several properties in both Troy and Albany. With the unanimous support of the City Council, we were able to fund a program to demolish hazardous properties in instances where we are unable to get the owner of record to responsibly address their property. In 2018, we issued demolition permits for 21 properties. Increasing the rate of home ownership remains an important priority for our neighborhoods. Working with partners such as TRIP, Habitat for Humanity, and the Troy Community Land Bank, prospective home buyers have a wide array of services, programs, and products available to assist them in achieving the dream of home ownership in a responsible fashion. And a significant portion of our federal home funds are directed to this purpose. 2018 was another strong year for homeowners in the city. The average price of the single-family home rose again in 2018. Up 9.3% over 2017. That's the sharpest increase in the capital region. Another important indicator of the desirability of our housing is a measure known as days on market, defined as the amount of time between when a property goes on the market and the time at which it is sold. Days on market for a single-family home in Troy in 2018 averaged 45. That represents a 35% decrease over 2017 and is a very strong indicator of the desirability of homes in Troy. In fact, realtors have indicated there's a growing inventory problem in our market. They have more buyers than they do product. Buyers are optimistic about Troy, and their investment demonstrates that. Neighborhoods are about more than just housing. Amenities are also a key factor in attracting and retaining homeowners. In 2018, we renewed the city's attention on our park system. We have designed documents for the park on 7th and Ingalls, which includes new basketball courts, playground equipment, a pavilion, and a splash pad. We will be putting that out to bid shortly. In sequence, we'll next look at the 112th Street Park, followed by the Canal Avenue Park. These small pocket parks add immeasurably to the neighborhoods, providing a safe, attractive venue for playing and cooling off in the warmer weather for the younger kids. Decentralized parks make it easier for more of our youth to access recreational facilities. In this year, it is our goal to get the South Troy pool open for the summer season. It is an aggressive schedule. Documents will be ready to go out to bid by mid-February. Results of the bidding will inform us if we can hit a July 1 open date. Design work will commence on the Knickerbocker Park pool as soon as we are able to come to terms with the park's trustees. Those discussions are ongoing. The Ingalls Avenue boat launch is nearing completion. We expect it to be operational for the 2019 fishing and boating season. This is the city's second boat launch, one above the dam and now this one below the dam. And 2018 also saw significant investment in personnel and equipment at our Freer Park golf course. The resulting turnaround of the course has been universally praised and has brought very positive attention to that facility. Attractive neighborhoods are also safe neighborhoods. I'm proud to say that our police and fire departments stand as equals among the best in New York State. Their training, their dedication, and their professionalism is widely recognized and well-regarded. In 2018, we installed an entire new leadership team in the police department. That transition ushered in a number of changes, including a renewed commitment to community policing methods. This past year, Chief Owens and I attended a series of meetings with a group of ministers from the African American churches in the city, the African American Pastoral Alliance. Facilitating the effort was the Regional Director of Community Relations Service of the U.S. Department of Justice. Quite a title. The goal was to come up with steps we could each take to undertake to build greater levels of trust and respect between our department and the community. The result was a six-point plan that includes monthly meetings between the Alliance and the leadership of the police department, as well as the formation of a community relations board in which members of the community and police officers can meet to build trust and increase transparency. Effective public safety is rooted in a mutual and respectful relationship between the community and those charged with enforcing the law. Our police department is committed to building that trust. While no amount of crime is an acceptable level, it is noteworthy that in the last year, according to the Capital Region Crime Analysis Center, violent crime declined 21% in Troy over 2017, and property crime declined 17% over the same period. This is a strong indicator of the efficacy of our police department and their focus on keeping our community safe. Work remains, however. The number of shots fired in 2018 remained level with those in 2017, a statistic that reflects the increasing number of illegal guns available throughout the region. To counter that, we are in discussions with the DA and the Pastoral Alliance to institute an open-ended gun buyback program, which we project to have operational this summer. The improving crime statistics that I noted are not accidental. They are the result of considered decisions, new training, and close relationships with federal and state agencies, including the FBI, the state police, the DEA, and Rensselaer County. The willingness and ability to adapt to changing conditions is vital to remaining effective in today's public safety environment. At this time, I'd like to recognize Police Chief Brian Owens and thank him for his leadership on these important issues. Fire Department continues to pursue the latest equipment through grants and other means to protect our residents and our firefighters from all hazards consistent with the latest technology and methods. In 2018, we were able to purchase new turnout gear for half of the department, and in 2019, we have already purchased gear for the remainder of the department. This is a significant upgrade in protection. This turnout gear is technologically advanced with the latest linings and barriers, providing our firefighters with superior protection from the dangers of fire, as well as the latest advancements in cancer protection. In 2019, we'll take the delivery of a new fire engine, and another is slated for delivery in 2020. Capital improvements will be made this year to three of the houses, Lansingburg, Campbell Ave, and Canal Ave. With the recent hiring of three new firefighter recruits, the force is now at full strength. The fire department is also poised to undergo a leadership transition. Last month, Chief Thomas Garrett retired after a 40-year career with the department, the last 20 of which as chief. City is very grateful for his years of service and leadership, and I am especially grateful for his preparation in advance of his departure. He placed great trust in his assistant and successfully passed to him the tools necessary to lead the department in the future. Tonight, it gives me great pleasure to announce that I am appointing Assistant Chief Eric McMahon to serve as the next chief of the Troy Fire Department. I have had the opportunity to work with the Assistant Chief these past 3 years, and I simply cannot imagine a better candidate. I have the utmost respect, utmost confidence in his abilities, and on behalf of the residents of the City of Troy, I thank him for taking on this responsibility. It is no secret that Troy is a great place to do business. Small businesses provide opportunities for entrepreneurs, jobs for neighbors, and gathering places for communities. They're rooted in the landscape where they grow, and they give back vitality and sustenance. They foster local economies, keeping money close to home and supporting neighborhoods and communities. Troy's recent renaissance is rooted in the vitality and diversity of our small businesses. In 2018, we continued our commitment to fostering small business growth and entrepreneurship in the Collar City. In 2018, more than 26 new businesses opened in the downtown alone. Not included in that number are the small businesses that opened in workshare environments or people's homes. These small businesses drive demand for more residential and commercial space. In 2018, we wrote building permits on over $90 million worth of construction. That's an increase of 39% over last year alone. In addition, construction was completed on three significant projects: the News Apartments, a $23 million project blending adaptive reuse and new construction at the former Record newspaper facility. It consists of 101 apartments, off-street parking, and street-level retail. It opened in the summer of 2018 and was quickly filled. The Courtyard at Marriott, a 120-room hotel complex, opened late this past summer. No longer do our businesses and educational institutions need to refer visitors to hotels in Albany County. Projects now under construction with completion dates expected in 2019 include 701 River Street. This is a $13.5 million renovation of the old Marshall Ray building, 80 apartments and commercial space on the first floor. That broke ground last fall and is expected to be completed later this year. 444 River Street, also known as the Marvin Neitzel building. You can tell my age because I refer to buildings not by the street address, but by their name. That's an $11 million project, 88,000 square foot renovation. It'll consist of 74 apartments, and it is slated to be open this summer. 669 River Street, a $4 million renovation of a long vacant industrial structure into 13 market rate apartments and a restaurant on the first floor. Construction began in 2018, and we think it'll be completed in 2020. It's Brian's project. The new construction of a residential apartment building at 12 King Street, consisting of 52 market rate apartments as well as 41 covered parking spaces for tenants. Occupancy is expected later in 2019. And the $4 million new construction of a multi-unit residential building on Cypress Street, just off of Congress Street, which will consist of 21 units, is underway and should be ready for occupancy later this summer. And projects expected to begin construction in 2019 include City Station North, which will include 66 apartments, a 250-car garage, 40,000 square feet of office space, and the total cost of that project is expected to exceed $40 million. A $4 million expansion of Capital Roots Urban Grow Facility on River Street in North Central, which will include an incubator kitchen and an efficiency-rated net zero greenhouses. And the construction of a new apartment building at 134 Congress Street, the site of the former KeyBank branch. This project is expected to cost in excess of $18 million. Will stand five stories tall, and include 52 apartments, plus approximately 50 parking places and 2,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground level. These investments by numerous individuals and businesses, from the single-family home buyer to the small business entrepreneur to the large-scale developer, bespeak a strong optimism about the city of Troy and its future. The diverse tapestry of our neighborhoods, our businesses, restaurants, and civic institutions is unique and appealing to a broad audience. Families, businesses, and investors continue to come to Troy confident in our future, investing their time, their money, and creating jobs and opportunities in the process while growing our tax base. In 2018, the city of Troy was designated a clean energy community by NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. It's in recognition of our leadership in reducing energy use, cutting costs, and driving clean energy locally. The designation has made Troy eligible for a $180,000 grant toward additional clean energy products. The city will use the money to purchase electric vehicles and install more charging stations. The vehicles will be used by the Code Enforcement Department to replace older vehicles that are not fuel efficient and are in need of frequent repairs. Vehicles in that fleet right now date back to 1995. Charging stations will be available to the public when not in use by city vehicles. In further pursuit of green cost-cutting measures, the city recently put out an RFP to convert all National Grid-owned streetlights to city ownership while converting the light fixtures themselves to LEDs. Not only is this a smart environmental move, but it bodes to save the city considerable money going forward. I have a couple of concluding thoughts I'd like to leave you with tonight. I've served as mayor for 3 years now. In that time, I've had the occasion to work closely with a good number of our employees. I have been impressed, and I wanted to share that with you. We have struggled through some difficult years. We've endured staffing reductions. The staff has worked without contract, sometimes for years on end. And too much of our equipment is old and failing. Yet the workforce continues to be there for us. On hot, humid days, when a sewer line breaks, there's always somebody in the hole fixing it. On sub-zero days, when a water line breaks, there's always somebody in the hole fixing it. When the snow falls and the rest of us are sleeping, they are out there keeping the roads open so that we can get to work or school. When it snows, when a home is on fire, when water or sewer lines break, when there is a robbery or a car accident, or when somebody has a heart attack, there are always city employees there to help us. They are there for you. They are there for the city. We are fortunate to have them, and I am proud to work with them, and I am grateful for their commitment to us. I'd ask you to recognize them with a round of applause. Troy is a remarkable city. When you reflect back on our history, you see we were at the epicenter of so much of this country's growth. Because of our location on the Hudson River and the abundance of streams that powered our mills and factories, we attracted entrepreneurs and inventors. We invented things. We manufactured things. Things that found their way to all corners of the globe. From horseshoes that were shipped all over the country to spirit levels that found their way to the moon on the Apollo program, we have made an enormous imprint on this country. Our buildings, our institutions tell a story of entrepreneurship, of vision, and it is precisely these characteristics that are reinventing Troy in the 21st century. We have remarkable stories to tell today about people inventing and reinventing themselves, investing in their families and businesses in the downtown and across our historic neighborhoods. Dozens of partners in the city, at the county, and throughout the region have taken chances that have jump-started real revitalization in recent years. The story of Troy 200 years ago and the story of Troy today are the same. It's a story about people creating community. It's not about elected officials. It's about you. It's about you and the efforts you repeatedly make day after day to shape your community. The credit belongs to all of you. It belongs to those who participate in our many neighborhood organizations and civic groups. It belongs to the investors and the small business owners who have invested their dollars and sweat here in Troy. It belongs to the rich fabric of nonprofits that serve our spiritual, intellectual, and physical needs. It belongs to the homeowners who show pride in their homes and their neighborhoods. In short, it belongs to all of those who recognize that problems and opportunities are two sides of the same coin, and who take it upon themselves to create solutions instead of waiting for someone else to do it. Tonight, I would characterize the state of the city as stronger, more resilient, and more optimistic. Stronger through the residents and businesses whose passion fuels our desires to improve and grow. More resilient in our commitment to invest in our future. And boldly optimistic that our present challenges pale in comparison to our possibilities. Optimistic that we can create a future that measures favorably with the greatness of our past. I see and I hear that optimism on a daily basis from residents and non-residents alike. It gives me great confidence in our future. I am proud and humbled to be your mayor. It is my goal to make you proudly proclaim that Troy is your home. We are Troy, New York, and we are in this together. Thank you for your time.